Well, friends, greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lord of Glory. And it's my joy to bring you the next in the Bible notes on the audio system in Mark chapter 8. And what we're looking at is just three verses today, but the lesson in it is such a big one that we need to just focus a little on it. And Mark chapter 8, verses 11 to 13 is about the danger of demanding a sign from God before we will believe him. Let's pray. We ask God's help and we come look at his word. Heavenly Father, you have given us the Bible, and we pray that you would be our teacher now as we come and look at it, and that the Holy Spirit, who you sent to work through Mark to put this gospel together in the way you wanted it, to carry your message, that you would, by the same Holy Spirit, open our eyes and the ears of our hearts and souls, our lives, that we may hear your truth, believe it, respond to it in faith, and live for your praise and glory. This is what we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Here's the text. The Pharisees came and began to argue with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Verse 12, and he sighed deeply in his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation from that point. And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. It's a bit of a shock, isn't it? They come saying, give us a sign and we'll believe in you. And he rebukes them, in effect, and he turns around and leaves them. How about that? That's not how most people think of God, but we need to think biblically. Now, in Mark's gospel, we have already been told that the Pharisees are out to kill Jesus because they rejected him and the word that God the Father gave him. So they want to get rid of Jesus. And when they come here asking for a sign, they're not asking as genuine seekers. It says there they came and began to argue, then come and begin to ask. They didn't humble themselves to learn, but they had their own ideas and they were opposed to him already. You know, friends, you know, if that's a person's attitude, there's not much hope for them, huh? They were seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. Now, you know what's funny? Except it's not really funny, it's actually sad, tragic, is that he'd just given a sign. And in the previous chapter, he'd given another sign, and before that with another sign. And in fact, the text says that he did many, many, many signs. But when people want to argue with Jesus, and they come to test him, they have actually made up their mind that he's not who he says he is, and he's somebody else, and he's not that important, and they don't need to humble themselves and believe in him. Excuse me. And for such a person, there's no hope other than a real miracle of God and great patience from the Lord. Now, the Lord sometimes is very patient, and the Apostle Paul, his conversion, which we can read in Acts, that's an example of that, where the Lord softened and changed a man's heart who was really opposed to him. But there was a man in my own ministry a number of years ago who had rejected most of the Bible. He told me he didn't think Jesus was special, didn't believe in the resurrection. I gave him material. I don't know if he ever read it. We spoke. But he was always opposed to what I said. He would not listen. He wouldn't humble himself under the word of God. And eventually he said to me that unless God gave him a special sign, especially for him, he wouldn't believe in Jesus. So I said to him, then you're wasting God's time. Because God has given us, and this is very important, a historically reliable record in the Gospels of not all, but some of, and all the really important miraculous signs that he's done. We have no right to come and ask or demand, which is what they do. So the Pharisees had hardened their hearts early on in his ministry and refused to humble themselves. And later on, and in fact, in chapter 23, he really condemns them. But in chapter 7, he had already condemned them for weakening Bible authority, see. So they were already in the practice of hearing the Bible and saying, oh no, I don't agree with this. Oh no, that's not right. Oh no, I have my own idea. Oh no, other people say this. They wouldn't humble themselves. And so here they come to actually try and trap him. People who try and catch out the Bible so they can avoid Jesus, unless God is very, very gracious, they're doomed. So the Pharisees come here and they demand a sign, which Jesus had just given a great sign, the second of its kind, the feeding of the 4,000 this time. And they just ignore it. They act as if he's done nothing. Now that's arrogance. And it's pride because they are saying we know better than Jesus. Friends, you're in trouble if you think that ever. Demanding signs shows they weren't satisfied with Jesus and they reveal their sinful attitude. It is a spiritually dangerous state. And Jesus warns that signs and miracles do not prove a person's ministry is from God. You can read Matthew chapter 7, 21, 23, and 24:24. Lord, didn't we do great signs and cast out demons in your name? And Jesus says, I never knew you. So they didn't get the power from God. I wonder where they got it from. Signs and miracles are not a proof that a person's ministry is from God, despite many people saying they do. Jesus condemns them. Verse 12. He sighed deeply in his spirit, like when he saw the grieving at the grave of Lazarus, deep in his heart and soul. He was disturbed. And Jesus condemns him. And after Jesus, the original Holy Spirit-inspired apostles did signs and wonders. And Paul says the signs and wonders of an apostle have been done among you. By the end of the first century, that was over because the apostles had been attested to. Then comes verse 12. What did Jesus think? Well, he sighed deeply in his spirit. No sign will be given to this generation. Actually, there was a sign, but it wasn't specifically given to them. It was a fulfillment of scripture when Jesus rose from the dead. He fulfilled his own words several times. He prophesied he would rise from the dead. And he did exactly that. But by then, they were so blind that on the cross, when he was doing the great act of the love and grace of God for a sinful world, by his death, the payment for our sins, as he was doing that, they were blind as blind could be. And all they could do was mock him and taunt him. Whereas in front of them was the greatest act of God's love. God so loved the world that he gave his own son. And so God did it, and then the resurrection, and they were totally blind. So it is a dangerous thing to start demanding anything from God. We are to humble ourselves before him. We are to humble ourselves. And the moment you or I say, well, before I do this act of obedience, God must do a miracle to show me. That is a dangerous route to follow. So what Jesus did, now listen to it, and he, verse 13, and he left them. Couldn't he just have done a miracle for them? Yes, but they would then be saying, remember he had already said that the works and the words, the works he did, the miracles, and the words, the teaching, were not his, but what the Father told him to do and told him to say. So if he did a miracle for them, he would be, in effect, agreeing with them that what God the Father had given them already wasn't enough, but he didn't do that because it was enough. Human hearts are sinful and very stubborn. And we think we're so wise when we say, oh, you know, if there's a God, why didn't he strike me down, as atheists sometimes say. And I've heard some say that. And they think that because they haven't been struck down, God is not there. But what they don't realize is that actually they are receiving the mercy of God at that moment in not striking them down. But because they've hardened their hearts, they are blind to it. It's a very risky thing, hardening ourselves. So what does Jesus do? Verse 13, and he left them. He could have done a sign, but he wasn't going to. He didn't say, oh, well, you know, actually, guys, you know, God loves you so much. I'm just gonna do a little bit extra. No, doesn't he? And he left them, got into the boat again, and went to the other side. Wow. How about that? What we are being shown is the ongoing hardening of the Pharisees' hearts against God, Jesus, and the Bible. Hey, that is a very, very dangerous thing. So I want to stop right here and ask us the question, are we hardening our hearts in any way? Are we saying, oh, the Bible's not enough? Actually, the Bible is enough. I'm going to take a moment of quiet and just for you to think about this and your own response to the Lord. We ought to be thanking God for the record of all the miracles that he did do. And the ones that are recorded for us are the most important ones, the ones we need, and they are enough. We ought to be thanking him. We ought to be praying that we don't have a resistant heart. And we ought to be living confidently in the word of God and for Jesus. Let's take a moment to think about that, and then we'll come back.